to live for him. And that's the purpose he has for us. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about the purpose that God has for us. Nev asked that we would, in the next few weeks, pick up some of the things we talked about through on the Sanctification Week. And I know, I don't know if anyone made all of them, but we went through a subject each day and looked at it. And I'm going to pick up the one that Andrew spoke about, which was a vision for a church of disciples. Andrew actually very much challenged me as he spoke. It was at 6 o'clock in the morning. He spoke very simply about what God had asked us to do, which is to go and make disciples. And the problem with it was I couldn't really argue with it. I couldn't say, yeah, but, or hang on a minute, or what. It's just, it was so simple and so straightforward. It challenged me. And it continually challenges me, and I'm beginning to see some things about the importance of disciple making. This is what was written in the notes for that day. Go and make disciples. Such a simple command, but one that has to a certain extent been resisted by many in the Western Church. Without doubt, discipleship has been abused in some churches. But misuse and abuse is no reason for disuse. The command still stands, go and make disciples. You know, as we look around the world, there are places like South Korea, China, Africa, South America. We see thriving, growing, radical churches. Churches that, to be honest, frighten me with the way that they are so committed to Jesus. I was impressed by something I read that you all may know in Scripture, which says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And it doesn't finish there. It's with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, and with everything you have. And sometimes in these churches abroad, that's what I see, and it worries me, because I struggle to live up to that. And I think in the Western world, we do. And I think that's why the Western world and the churches in the Western world don't really want to adopt discipleship. They're radical churches, and they believe in discipleship. Jesus had 3 years of ministry. He had set the stage in his 3 years for world revival. Then he was hung on a cross and killed. And it was almost as if he came back just to say something to ensure that what he said would be done and that the revival would reach the ends of the earth. And we know very well what he said. It's written in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20, and I want to read it. And we call it the Great Commission. It says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I am so grateful for that. In the world we live in, everything around us, all authority belongs to Jesus. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And here's the best bit. And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age. That makes it sound palatable to me. The fact that he's in charge and he's with us makes the middle bit possible. So the Great Commission, often being called in Europe the Great Omission, because we don't really do it. We don't like that thing. It's one of the reasons I believe that G12 is so disliked in Western Europe. It's because this is what the Great Commission asks us to do. And do you know what? There's two reasons I believe that we don't want to do it. It takes time, effort, supernatural energy, diligence, faithfulness, self-control. Does that sound a bit familiar? That's love, isn't it? It takes love to be a discipler. And I believe that to disciple others from the examples in Scripture we see, we must be a disciple. And in this country and in Europe, we don't really want somebody else to speak into our lives. In England, we haven't got the time, and we're all too together to need anyone else to be over us in the Lord. And that's in the Bible, about people who are over you in the Lord. Or put it another way, we don't want to take responsibility, and we don't want to be accountable. Personally, I find that very challenging, because I know that's a bit of me too. And I believe it's why the churches in Europe are weak, but churches elsewhere are very strong, very radical, they affect governments, and the power of God is so evident in their churches. And you know, I know that every one of us wants that in this church. We want to see the power of God. We want to affect this town around us. We want to be effective to our friends who are not Christians. We want to be able to have authority over the enemy in their lives to break the powers of the demonic forces that are holding them and closing their eyes and covering their eyes with scales. We want to do that. God says, go and make disciples and be a disciple. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit. And it is a challenge, but I think it's an exciting challenge because the freedom that we want is there. But God often asks things of us. You know, he says, those who seek me will find me. Now, I know that a lot of people who don't seek him, he is found by them. Because he's a gracious God and he's very gracious. But if we do seek him, he promises we'll be found by him. So sometimes God says, if you do this, I'll do this. He says, if my people seek my face and pray, I'll come and heal their land. Now, it doesn't automatically mean that if we don't, he won't. Because sometimes just out of grace, he comes. And he's powerful and he's amazing and he's loving. But he does promise that if we do seek him and humble ourselves before him, he'll come and heal our land. So I'm really excited about 24-hour prayer because people are beginning to seek God and ask him to come and do the stuff that we can't do. That's supernatural stuff, by the way. And so many people in this church want to be involved in the supernatural. We do want to see the supernatural. The supernatural is what's beyond the natural, what we can't do of ourselves. Then you begin to think the supernatural is just about everything because there's so little we can do of our own strength. But God wants to move through us in power. And he wants to affect this society around us. He wants to affect your friends with his power. But we need to learn to do what he says. And he says, go and make disciples. I'll talk about number two first, being a disciple, having a mentor, being accountable. Some of the things, you know, if you go back 30 years when the Spirit of God broke out into churches in this country, there was a thing called the shepherding movement, and it got quite abused. And because of that, I think that might have had an effect. We shied away. But I go back to those little words, just because it's been abused and misused, we've got to get it right. We don't just ignore it. We've got to get it right. Having a mentor and being accountable. Here's a few examples. Moses did what his father-in-law, Jethro, said. He went to him, showed him everything. Moses was one of the most powerful men and one of the most humble men in the Bible. Joshua was mentored by Moses. Caleb was mentored by Joshua. Samuel was mentored by Eli. And he even got a load wrong, but Samuel still did as he was told. David was mentored by Samuel. Elisha was mentored by Elijah. Paul had Timothy. He called him his son. And Paul he'd do what was told by the council in Jerusalem, by the elders in Jerusalem. And you know, Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. There's a model here that's really good. And let's have a little look why. It's a biblical concept. Do you know Martin Smith of Delirious wrote a line in a song? And it said this, he is breaking the pride in our hearts. Having somebody to be accountable to breaks the pride in your heart. And God hates pride. He wants us to be humble, to be teachable. And having a mentor, having somebody over us, keeps us humble and keeps us teachable. And I think that's a good thing. And if I'm going to be discipled by somebody else, I'd like to know that they are accountable to somebody else. And you can say, well, that's wonderful, but what happens at the top, which everyone says? Pastor Caesar would say that he is a son to Pastor Cho in Korea, and everything he does, he wants to honour him with because of the amount he's put into his life. You know, well, who's Pastor Cho then? You know, who's his mentor? That's not really our business. My business is to mentor and to be mentored, to disciple and be discipled. I've been very blessed by people who put into my life, and I had a wonderful father who was a great help to me. I'm fortunate I didn't have him for long enough, but he was a real model to me of integrity, and I've been blessed by that. I've got another father. Sitting over there, that's Gordon. And you know, Gordon mentored me as a young man for about 10 years and sorted me out, straightened my life out. Do you know what? Once he shut my car in a garage and locked it because I had no NOT on it. And he wasn't going to let me drive around without an MOT on my car. I don't know if you remember that. And you might think, what a cheek, what rights he got to do that? Because he loved me. And he didn't want me to get in trouble. I didn't think it was that important. But he did. My father didn't know about it. But can you see, it's a blessing to have someone look after you. And there were great things that he put into my life. Some of what you see in me is because of that man over there, and I want to honour him for that. And he was a great man to me. Now I've got an older brother, and he models for me, and he looks into my life, and he cares for me. It's not very often he has to put me right, but he does. And I have to be accountable to him, and he helps me, and he wants to help me make disciples. That's what he's there for. And he encourages me in my marriage and in my business, and he's interested. It's great to have somebody who's mentoring you and somebody over you. So having a mentor is a good thing. And so often we see the bad thing. And I want to encourage you. Be discipled by somebody. Go to somebody and ask them. If you see somebody you think you could help you, further you in what you want to do for God, and in reaching other people and making disciples, go and ask them, will you disciple me? Big question, big thing to ask. Because you might just have to not drive your car when it's got no MOT on it. And you don't get any say in that. You just do it. You just obey. Paul in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 16 says, I became your father. I urge you to imitate me. How ungodly. They should be imitating God. Then he says to the Thessalonians, you became imitators of us and the Lord. He says in Corinthians 11, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So discipleship is about leading others. And every one of us, if we're just a few feet in front of somebody else, we can take them and we can lead them and we can help them. You know what? Here's a really solemn thought. If someone imitated your life, would they become more like Jesus? Would you be leading them to Jesus by what your life is in your life and how you operate in your life? If they saw every part of your life, would they become more like Jesus if they copied what you did? And you know, that's the kind of thing God is asking of us. Go and make disciples. Disciples follow. So what you do, they'll do. We do it with our children. All of you have that effect on your children. They look to you. Probably the most things they learn will be from mum and dad. We disciple them. They follow us. It's a responsibility. Leadership, I believe, in the Western world, unfortunately, even in churches, is compromised due to lack of integrity. There's too much of do what I say and not what I do. And we don't want that in the church. We want to set an example of what leadership is about. You know, there's certain rules that the politicians could never pass because they don't do them themselves. There's certain things that they cannot do which are godly because they don't want to set the example and be accountable. But it's different in the church. We have that ability to stand upright before God and to say to those people out there, if you follow what I do, you'll find Jesus, because I find Jesus. I found Jesus. And we need to stand up with integrity and be leaders with integrity. God calls us all to that. Making disciples is really being a leader because you're leading others. God wants us to have integrity. It says this, a church, this is in the sanctification notes, a church of disciples will be very radical and different. A church of disciples will inevitably make a much greater impact from the kingdom of God than a church of simply converts or Sunday attendees. Disciples will challenge values, behavior, and culture because their lives will be so different. Their values, morals, language, attitudes, goals in life will all be different because disciples live to follow and obey their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a high calling. What an honor that God has called us to live like him, to live like his son Jesus, and actually has entrusted us to lead others that they can follow. And as they follow us, they find Jesus. That's the goal, that they find Jesus. And so we need to look in our lives, personally we need to do this, and say, which bits of my life would I not want them to see, and do something about it. We can ignore it, hoping, well, I'll never lead anyone, then they never have to follow me. But that's like leadership out there. Do what I say, not what I do. God wants integrity, and it is so important for us. And it's not a hard thing. So, a church of disciples. Pastor Robert Kong, he was the guy on the end in that group of G12 pastors that are coming on next month from Singapore. Some of us will remember last year he did a session on the love of the Father. And it was one of the most moving things I've ever heard about the great love that God has for us. And he said a little statement, a little throwaway thing in there that I think most of us who were there remembered. And it was something to the effect that God had told him that one of the things that saddened God's heart was when the blessings that he had given us had become more important than himself. And I think this is probably one of the biggest barrages, big blockages to us discipling. Because the blessings he's given us, and we live in a blessed society. Jill has got the honour of going to Mozambique in February, and she'll see not such a blessed society. And in Africa, it's not so good maybe as it is here. But we are blessed with so much. And do you know what? Every good thing we have has come from God. Every good thing is from him. That's why we worship him. That's why we praise him. But so often we can turn those things and almost worship the things rather than the God who gave them. And he gives us some, and I've got some little examples here that I know. These are what I can be tempted with in my own life. So I'm not trying to put this on you. I'm just going to share some things. And you'll relate to some of these, some of you won't. You know, television, I think is a fantastic media. I love some evenings when I'm really tired just to sit down, entertain me, and it does. And I think it's great. But to some people, it's become an addiction. That blessing is something that they give so much time to, they worship it. And they have to see it. And I've got to see the next something, and I've got to see this. And the whole, a lot of television is designed to addict you to it, because they want your attention. That thing wants our attention. It is one of the biggest things that block us from being, because we spend more time doing it. If we spent the time we watched that, talking to somebody, helping somebody, I think we'd be a bit different. But it is a blessing. It's a great thing. I know you think I don't like television. I love television. Our houses, an English man's home is his castle. But how much time do we spend serving that thing that God has blessed us with? Our homes are a blessing from God. But sometimes we can get so involved with our houses that we forget about the God who gave them to us. Cars, they're more status symbols than they are to get us from A to B. Like they were invented to help us get around. Now they're luxury, whatever, sports, whatever, which are great, that's fine. But let's not worship them. Let's not give them more time and attention than we give to our God. Fashion. You know, fashion confuses our self-esteem. It becomes entangled and we get confused because we've got to look the part. That's fashion. Fashion can look great. Fashion is a part of creative God that he's put into people to design clothes and all the stuff that we... And it looks fantastic, but let's not be a slave of fashion. Let's just enjoy it as a blessing from God. Sex. Probably the best-selling commodity there is around was something that God gave for a man and wife to enjoy together, to be blessed together. And yet it's probably one of our biggest-selling commodities and money-making things. And we've totally abused the thing and people worship it. God's good with the stuff he gives us. Jobs and salaries. They're often the reflection on how well we've done. Oh, haven't they done well? Oh, they've got a real close relationship with God. No. They earn loads of money. They've got a huge house now. They've really done well. No, God doesn't measure us by how much money we've got, how much houses we've got, or whatever. He might bless us with all that stuff, but he measures us on what's our relationship like with him. Are we close to him? That's how well you're doing and how well you've done. Music. I was so blessed by the music this morning. I love loud music. I love soft music. I love music. Powerful thing. You know, in heaven, Satan was in charge of the music. That's why it's so powerful. But we can give into it. We can listen to too much of the wrong sort and it'll drag us away. But music is a great thing. It's a blessing from God. Husband, wife, children, our family, gifts from the Lord. But so often we want to hold them to ourselves and own them and not give them up for him and not give them to him. We need to be careful. I've put mobile phones here. Some people will laugh. What a blessing a mobile phone is. But how many of us, our lives are run by that thing? And I try and turn it off at night. And then people say, I couldn't get hold of you last night. I said, oh, God got a phone in the house. No, on your mobile. I said, well, I'm turning it off. And I'm not running around by that thing, but I've got to learn on that one. You know, I've got to come somewhere on that one. I'm not very modern. But I don't like the way that some people walk around with this thing and a jump at it, and whenever it calls, we go to it, and nothing. No. Phones are meant to be at home, not on us all the time. Sorry for you folks who are really into that sort of thing. But
it's true, though, isn't it? It is true.
What?
We end up not living in the moment that we're in. We're living somewhere else.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. And that is from Electro Fantastic. He's into all that stuff. But thank you, Mark. Great integrity. Appreciate that. He's right. Great. You know, turned off, thank you. God's not asking.
Put that on Facebook now.
Don't go the Facebook one. Could you tweet it to somebody? I'll have to. Yeah. God help us. He will, I know. You know, God's not looking for you to be perfect. Well, he is eventually. But it's not perfection that you need to be to lead somebody else. When I fail, I want people to see how I handle that. So that those people seeing me fail and how I handle it, I confess it. There's no condemnation because God has forgiven me everything. They need to learn that. So we're not asking for perfection. We're just asking that we have integrity before God. Integrity before those who are around us. And so we're happy for them to look into our lives and follow what we do and become disciples. Do you know what? A church full of what I call converts, or what Nev put there as Sunday attendees, can be a burden. Can be a burden to the leaders. Because they've always got some problems or something that needs attention. But a church full of disciples are going to go out there and do what you're doing. Because they're going to do what you do. And when you get your life sorted out, they'll see how you do it, and they'll get sorted out. You know, a church of disciples multiplies. And that is the thing that is happening in other churches all around the world. They multiply. They don't add. They multiply. Because it just goes out and out and out. And that's what God wants for this country, for this town, for this church. He wants us to multiply. He wants every one of us to be productive. It's not just left to the few who are evangelists. Thank God for evangelistic people, because they can really help us. And some of you have got some fantastic ways of doing stuff. Keep doing it. And maybe we can help pick up some disciples from the people that you evangelize. But God wants us to multiply. And that means we're all in this together. We need each other, and we need God. Just a few things Jesus said, and I'm going to finish with these. Jesus said, go and make disciples. His words, not mine. They're not Pastor Castellanos in Colombia's words. He didn't make them up. They're not us. It's not the church, LifeSpring, trying to put this on you. It's what Jesus said. In fact, the church is the place that helps us to fulfill what Jesus said. That's what we're here for. That's why we need each other. We're together to do this thing. And he even told us very simply how to do it. Jesus said, baptize them, get them baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to do some of that tonight. I think it's up to 6 now being baptized. Praise God. We want to see them filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray for that. And teach them to obey the things I've commanded. That's it. That's how you make disciples. But you can't teach them to obey if you're not obeying. So it brings our lives accountable to Jesus. And he wants to teach us so that we can teach others. And every one of you can teach other people to obey. That's what cells is about. That's what the church structure that we've got is about. It's trying to help us obey the words of Jesus. Jesus said in John 40, I'll read this out, John 14, verse 21, I think it might come up on the screen behind me, 23 and 24. He said this, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He is the one, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. And 23 says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. It's showing our love for God is going and making disciples. It's obeying what he asked us to do. And there's other things he asked us to do. But that's one of them. And that was what he decided was the best way to reach the nation for him, for himself. That's why he said it. Go and make disciples. And if we say we love him and don't do that, I think there's a little bit of lack of integrity there. If we sing in these fantastic songs that we love God, oh, we love you, Lord, and we think we do, but he says, if you love me, do what I say. You know, if my children never did what I said, I'd kind of question whether they had any respect or honour for me at all. Often they didn't do what I said. But I know that they wanted to do what I said. And I know as they grew older, they did do what I said. And it was out of their love for me. Because they could see something in me they wanted to do. And it's the same with our Father in heaven. And Jesus, we do what he says because we love him. And I want to be a church that loves and loves and loves. Luke 12:48 says this, to everyone who is given much, much is required. And in the West, we have been given a lot. And let's not let that lot come in the way of our relationship with God. Because that's what saddens his heart. Let's bless God for that lot. Let's really enjoy that lot. Make the most of that lot that he's given us. But let's be free to give it away. Because to whom a lot is given, Jesus says a lot is required. And he requires it. I didn't say that, he did. We need to help each other. We need to be together. You know, when we fail, when things go wrong for us, somebody's going to be alongside us to pick us up. When Rob failed this morning, thank you, Mark. Did you see the way Mark just stepped in and carried on? Nothing changed, just carried on. Beautiful picture. We need each other. And we're going to help each other. We're in this together. But the people who struggle to be in it are those that say, I'm not going to disciple. Well, you have to say that to Jesus, really, not me. Because I didn't ask you to disciple. He did. And we need to be serious. So it's a serious thing. And we are a blessed people. You know, God has given us so much, shown us so much. We're a blessed people. Let's be a blessing to those people out there who have no knowledge of him. Let's put our lives on the line. Let's try it out. Let's give and give and give. Do you know what? You cannot outgive God. If you seek first his kingdom, it says, that means do the things he wants you to do. He'll make sure you've got all the rest of the stuff too. He'll add everything else to you. But he wants you to make that decision. A church of disciples will be very radical and different. You know, I'm looking for that. I've been looking for that for about 30 years, ever since that man over there sparked something in me. Because God wants to do something different. And I'm still looking for it. I'm still hoping for it. I'm still believing that there is going to be amazing turnaround in this country. Because churches in this country are going to obey the commission of Jesus and disciple, and then there will be a multiplication of an effect we've never seen in this country. Pastor Cesar started his church in Bogota exactly the same time as this church started. And he got hold of this concept of discipleship. His church is now about 300,000. We're about 300. I'm not condemned by that. That's okay. But I'm prepared to learn from other people, humble myself under their teaching, and get the blessing of the prophet. That's why I'm going to the conference. I want to get the blessing of multiplication. I want to understand. I want to submit myself, humble myself to the teaching of these people who've built these huge churches by the grace of God. And I want that to happen here. I wonder if we could just stand and let's pray together before we have our tea and coffee. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me. He says, if I abide in you, you will be fruitful. You will multiply. And he abides with the people who obey him. That's what we just read. If you obey me, my Father will come and abide in you, and we will be there together. So God, we realize, we thank you. We realize of the enormity of that commission. And yet, Lord, you say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so, Lord, individually and corporately, we come to you. We come to you, Jesus. We thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit, without whom we could do nothing of this. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you, Jesus, will you pour out your Holy Spirit on us? A Holy Spirit that gives us a supernatural energy, a supernatural ability to look for those people, to lead those people to you, to be a blessing to you, to be a blessing to them. Holy Spirit, we need your help. We need your help. And I want to pray, Father, that this week, in the times when my brothers and sisters here come before you, that you pour your Holy Spirit into them at those times, that you abide with them, that you come and live with them. And Lord, out of that, that we will have this desire in our hearts to obey what you've asked us to do, everything you've asked us to do. Lord, we want to be an obedient people, submitted under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we submit ourselves to you now, knowing that as we submit to you, the enemy has to flee. And we take authority over the enemy, over every thought that's against what you would have us to think, over every fear of making disciples, over every fear of accountability, all those fears, we take authority over them in the name of Jesus, because you've set us free. And we claim that freedom in the name of Jesus, and ask that you would now set us free to be those that go and make disciples, to see those disciples, to believe you for those disciples, to fulfill this commission that you've given us as a church, Lord, as life.